Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tau Schmid.
Yes, it is a final. The game, the series, and the road trip, and the results are not good. Brewers with a 7-1 loss, which really wasn't even close. It wasn't even a 6-run game, really. It seemed like a 60-run game. Just, it's one of those games where you just chalk up to, a butt-whooping. Is that about right,
yeah,
Tim Allen?
Yeah, they always say that sometimes they just bust out a can on you, and then they did that today.
Baby Tau's Bill Schmid, and the Brewers now done with that early West Coast swing here into Anaheim to face the Angels, into L.A. to face the Dodgers, and it comes out 2-4. Now, it depends on the way you look at this thing. You could look at it as, you took 2 of 3 in L.A. against the Dodgers. Short little window. You've won 2 of your last 3. You could look at it, expand that window, open it up a little bit. Pella windows and doors, just slide that door right open, window right open.
Oh, yeah, right open. Slide it right through.
And
no interest for 18 months.
Could be 2-4 is what you're looking at on the road trip, the 6 games. Then you could slide that bad boy all the way open. And you could say, ooh, yeah, in the last 8 games, the Brewers are 3-5. That's a little tougher. I like to stay in the now, basically.
Right. Yep. Stay in the now. Next game is the most important one, right? Let's focus that way.
Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. It's actually a postgame for the Brewers game today and a pregame show for the Bucks game today.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, just can't wait. Even though it looks like it's the middle of winter, we're in the middle of April, and we're getting ready for some playoff basketball. And you're still sitting here, man, with a 10-5 Brewer team after what happens today.
10-6.
And one of the best teams still in baseball. I mean, it's so early, we're moving forward.
The coolest thing about it is that the pitching numbers do not look good. They don't. Mm-mm. I'll admit it. But they're 10-6. They're finding a way. I love that about this team. I love it, love it, love it. And I have since Craig Counsell was named the manager of this franchise. He finds a way. You find a way to win a ball game. You talk about shrinking the window down. That's what he does each and every game.
Mm-hmm.
Every time out, it's a different way to win a baseball game. And if he has to do it with lofty pitching numbers, well, then that's what he's got to do. And they didn't get it done today. Spark of the game brought to you by Current Electric in this one is going to be Mirotić activated for game 1, Bucks and Pistons.
Well, also Blake Griffin down for the Pistons. I mean, that's one of those sparks of one of the reasons why you call Current Electric. You look, you're flipping the switch, and all of a sudden nothing's turning over. That's for the Detroit Pistons tonight.
Yeah. Now, non-spark would be Yoelis Chacin. You talk about a rough
outing. Talk about who's hot, who's not.
Wow. It was right out of the chute. It was literally, you could tell almost immediately that Chacin was probably not going to settle in this one. Had absolutely no control of his fastball. And that's where this thing went south on him. You know, I will say this, though. Early on, the Brewers did have, I would say, the majority of the first 8 or 9 outs. I don't know if you noticed, it was kind of victimized by the atom ball. They were trying to jump on Stripling here, but it just wasn't working out. Yoelis Chacin today in the series finale, 2 1/3, 6 hits, 6 runs, all earned, 3 walks on top of that. You're not gonna have much success when you're allowing 6 hits and 3 walks and 2 1/3 against the LA Dodgers. That's a man. I'm surprised that they were on the 6-game losing streak. Number one, the Dodgers, and they're only going to get better throughout the season. Now I'm convinced the Brewers will get better throughout the season as well. But that Dodger team, that's something to take a look at. They miss Kershaw. Maybe they wanted Kershaw today then. You know, they get Stripling, and he rattles off a career-best 8 innings of work at figures. And
right,
Kershaw
out of all the Dodger starters that you were going to see, that you possibly could see, Ross Stripling was the one that hauls off and goes 8 innings against you.
You can name him the spark of the game with Current Electric as well. Want to get your reaction here. If you want to join the conversation, 414-799-1250. Brewers muster up one single tally, and that was a sacrifice fly. ET gets in on some of the action. These 13 games, you know, I won't say it's not fair because you got to play who's on your schedule. But these 13 games against the Dodgers and Cardinals, very telling. They're 3 deep into the 13. This is the window that you want to look at, Billy, right here. It's not necessarily the full gamut schedule, which is pretty daunting. It is. It's a rough schedule. Dodgers got a rough schedule as well. But I think you look at these 13 games, these three against the Dodgers, 4 more against the Cardinals starting on Thursday, and then 3 apiece, Dodgers and Cardinals. I'm sorry, Cardinals and Dodgers again, all for 13 games. So 3, 4, that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 4 series, and they're 2-1 in that window of time. And you will take that. If you pointed at this section of the schedule early on, you would say, yeah, we'll get off to a 2-1 start here.
Yeah, you're gonna be happy with that. You're gonna take that. And outside of you can frame this however you want to. Where they're sitting right now is they've won series outside of getting swept in LA. Date back through last year, this club is winning series, and it's going to be a good recipe for you. But to start out the season how you're doing it, and think about it this way, though. Now St. Louis is going to be coming in from Mexico City to come and play against you, and you're going to be dealing with that travel schedule for them. So, I mean, it's been a difficult run early on for all of these clubs.
Just get through it, man. It's a big series starting tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals, as you said, coming in from Mexico City, and the Brewers coming in from L.A. So both of them with long flights, so it should be even keel right there. But you know, the home cooking, you took 3 of 4 a couple of weeks ago against the St. Louis Cardinals at home. Sort of just a great series, it was. But you had some excitement of the opening of the 2019 campaign, and you had some excitement coming out of 2018. There were some things there. Now things have settled into the season here, and this homestand, we may look back on this homestand as pivotal in the Brewers' trek here early on in the first half of 2019. This homestand right here. 3 against the Cardinals tomorrow, then the Dodgers back in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's huge, guys. It's huge, and it's great. It's great baseball. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, you want to take a look at, you know, the Cardinals or the Brewers and the Dodgers going at it, then the Cardinals and the Brewers going at it, and then it's right back, home and home kind of series. Brewers overall in the last year plus against the Dodgers now 8-9. In the 17 games. So they match up decent against these LA Dodgers. And it's going to be interesting coming up this week. No off days this week, Monday through Sunday, all at home. What are you looking for here? I guess I'm looking to win series. Yeah, I'll start with tomorrow night's game, but I'm looking to win the series. And I think they're fully capable of doing that. It's going to have to be some improvement on the pitchers. Now, speaking of pitching, got a bunch of texts, got a phone call from your guy, Gary Ellerson there, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
He must have seen the same flare that I got on my phone with the At-Bat app that said Brewers about ready to add a big arm to the bullpen.
Oh.
And so what's the first thing you think of?
Oh, it's got to be Dallas Keuchel, right? Or Craig Kimbrell, for sure.
Kimbrell, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
that's
sure.
But then the more you think about it, the more you think, it's going to be Jeremy Jeffress activated.
Because it lines up on the timeline. This is what Craig was planning for, is that they would be able to get Jeffress back when they get back home and let him finish out the weekend. That'd be fine, and that would be a big arm. That's a returning all-star to the rotation, or to the bullpen. Not exactly what everybody was looking for, but...
I agree. I don't know if you caught last night, we did a little tracking down of Jeff Hem, who, you know, it's a great follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to say that to sound cool. He is the play-by-play guy for the Nashville Sounds, the Texas Rangers, AAA affiliate, where the San Antonio Mission, the Brewers AAA affiliate, was this weekend, where Jeremy Jeffress pitched the other day. Now, I'm quite interested and fascinated, quite frankly, with the fact that nobody was talking velocity numbers for JJ. You and I have discussed this throughout mm-hmm. the year. Where are the numbers? Bill Schroeder made a comment, 92 to 96. I don't know where that came from. According to Jeff Hem on Twitter last night, he had said that, you know, Jeffress, in his game tweets or whatever, Jeffress pitched one inning, allowed a couple of hits, a home run, and a run given up. But he said fastball velocity consistently around 90.
Ooh, that's not great. That's not what you need to have if you're Jeremy Jeffress coming out of the pen in those high leverage situations.
I want to get your spin on that. What's your take on that? Is he capable of turning the switch, flipping the switch, and being in a ball game tomorrow mm-hmm. or Tuesday, eighth inning, seventh inning, one run game against the Cardinals, Miller Park going nuts, big fan base, big game in division, and there's Jeremy Jeffress rearing back and throwing 91.
Well, and also think about it this way, Tim. What about into the weekend going up against the Dodgers, who had a bunch of success against JJ in last year's playoffs? And the Colorado Rockies at the end of the month they had a lot of success against JJ in the playoffs there, and he equated a lot of that to him dying out a little bit and struggling late with the arm soreness. But they've made it so public that in this rehab, we're not looking for JJ's ERA. We're not looking for the high leverage situation. We're not looking for the save numbers. We're not looking for this. We're looking for that. We're trying to make sure that he feels good. Well, he's not going to feel good if he's getting roughed up when he comes back up to the major leagues and can't even get out of a full inning without giving up two or three runs. I'm concerned in the fact of we knew that it was low velo in spring training. And they tried to play it off like it wasn't, and that it wasn't an issue. We're not concerned about that. But it's prevalent with slider and sinker ball pitchers that if they can't locate the fastball and be able to mix the speed off of that, that they are going to struggle against big league hitters.
Yeah, and you say velocity down in spring training. I mean, down might be
down, down.
I mean, we would have taken 90. Mm-hmm. In Arizona. We didn't even get close to that. It was 82, 83 in Arizona. And now you're looking at consistently at 90. Maybe it is to the point where he's just trying to get through these outings before he really revs it
sure.
up.
Sure.
It is possible. But you would think that in a given situation down there, prior to being called up, now again, we haven't gotten any confirmation that he's called up quite yet, but you would think he would rear back on a couple of hitters just to see where he's at here, just to see if I can ramp this thing up and go for it. It apparently is not like that right now for Jeffress. So little concern in that front. The more it goes by here, the more we get a look at this bullpen, where you're piecing things together with a Junior Guerra yesterday with a couple of scoreless innings. He's been dynamite. I got to say.
He's big time.
He's been a chameleon. The more we move along, the more interested at least I am in a hard lean toward Kimbrel. I think it might be what the Brewers bullpen needs. Jeremy Jeffress, 4 outings, 4 1/3, 9 hits, 8 earnings, 3 homers given up. Batting average against is .409. And his ERA is north of 14. So there's that big arm to add to the bullpen. Babe, you Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #MillHockey. We're wrapping up the Brewers and Dodgers game and series, and we're previewing the Milwaukee Bucks and Detroit Pistons as the NBA championship run is about to get underway in a little while. Bucks and Detroit in a snowstorm, sort of.
Blizzard, Tim. We can call it what it is. This is ridiculous.
7-1 Brewers fall in game three. We'll be back in the Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Wrapping up the L.A. Dodgers three-game set and the six-game road trip out west, a Brewers 7-1 loss. And I need to, Tim and Tosh here, I know I get worked up a little bit, Billy, but I need to stop allowing the team to affect my, like, everyday demeanor, if you will.
I'm hoping that you try to do that.
I do try to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, today I was super bummed. You just kind of knew they were going to lose today early. And it's like, man, what a waste. What a waste of seven more innings. When you know in the second inning it's not happening.
Yeah, it's like, and you're looking at yourself, you're looking at the watch, you're looking at the game. Then you kind of start, you know it's bad when during the commercial you hit the list on the DVR. And you're like, man, I got the game on the radio. I could follow it along here and watch maybe a movie. You know, Game of Thrones starts tonight. I could catch up on last season, be ready to go. But it's one of those where you just look at yourself and like, it felt like it was 17-0 instead of 7-0.
It affects my life in that regard. So do a little pick me up. Like, okay.
Well, dude, you can't be talking about doing jack.
Well, maybe a cup
show.
Of coffee will help. You know, and then fresh cup of coffee. That changed my mood here. Get back into it. Then you think the coffee doesn't work, booming you out. Still, you know, ground out after ground out, shall seen two and a third, six, you know.
After ground out.
And so then you say, how about an ice cream?
Ooh,
ice cream will make
things
better.
Yeah, usually does.
No, that
no,
that
no,
help
didn't
either.
Do the trick. What kind of ice cream were we eating today, Timmy?
I bought those Chocolate Lovers ice cream cones, the frozen ones. They are just, oh man.
So is that like a drumstick style thing? Okay,
yep.
Okay, I like that. I like what we're hearing there.
The graham cracker cookie cone and the chocolate on top and the chocolate
how
ice
we're talking.
Cream. And you get a bonus toward the bottom of the cone. It's a like a chocolate candy bar, a little mini. Little
are you
round.
Serious?
Yeah, a little
now we're talking
junk of chocolate.
Now that's like
there.
One of those. I know you're familiar with the Ben and Jerry pints. Now I don't know if you rip through the whole thing like I do in about 10 minutes, but they are putting together now where they call it the core. So right in smack dab in the middle, instead of like the cookie dough being dispensed all over the ice cream pint, there's just a big fat ball right in the middle. And it's just a glob of cookie. Now, the issue that I have is you sometimes just want to eat all the ice cream around it.
And save it for last.
And then save that for last. And then that's when you think that Zeus is going to hit a 3-run shot and the team's going to be right back in it.
The only thing that picked me up a little bit today is knowing that there are some beers in my future. So
let's go.
I wouldn't recommend that to everybody. That would be, you know.
Not if you're driving.
Time and a place for everything. And the Bucks game tonight. Those two things and a steak thawing in the microwave.
Oh,
so
now we're talking porterhouse or what? Ribeye?
Ribeye. Yeah,
oh, man, love your ribeyes. Also, one other way that things could, you know, be positive for you, Tim, as we look to give the sunshine and rainbows report on the postgame show today. Your Milwaukee Admirals, fine supporter of our program, are going to the Calder Cup playoffs. Booked in last night. The team is hanging out, watching the game in the locker room. While everybody else is just getting ready for Billy Currington to walk out on stage, he hits like his second song, and the Manitoba Moose fell to the Chicago Wolves, and it was clinched after a 5-0 win. The Admirals are going to the playoffs.
That's cool, and they haven't been there in, what, a year or two?
A year or two, and sadly, the last four trips, I believe, they've gotten aced out in sweep fashion. Now imagine that. You're doing this postgame show, and the Brewers go to the playoffs for four straight years, and they get swept out of the playoffs.
No,
you would be a mess. I don't even think you'd make it.
Not enough ice cream cones in the world to improve that situation. Wrench and go drive of the game. They only got a run today, a 7-1 loss. We'll go with the run off the bat of Eric Thames.
And sends one very high into right field. Alex Verdugo at the track has some carry to it. Out number two, but Aguilar will score. Sac fly for Thames, and it gets the Brewers on the board.
Yeah, there it is on Fox Sports Wisconsin. And let me just go back to the bullpen situation. Ran across an article here from MLB.com's Mark Feinsand. He writes, I'm taking out one little section of the article because he writes there were six teams that are good suitors for Craig Kimbrell. And this is what he writes. He writes about the Brewers situation, and I think he's right on, man. The Brewers, one of six teams that would be a good fit. Corey Knebel's torn UCL and subsequent season-ending Tommy John surgery leaves a sizable hole in the Milwaukee bullpen. True. Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffress remain as staples in the relief corps. Hader might be the best reliever in the game.
Ooh.
But Jeffress is on the comeback, right shoulder issue. The rest of the bullpen has gotten off to an admirable start, but losing Knebel seems to present an obvious opportunity for the Brewers to pursue Kimbrell, who would provide a proven closer, allowing Hader to be deployed in high-leverage spots throughout the game. Remember, Kimbrell was offered a qualifying offer, so the Brewers would have to give up compensation unless, and I didn't know this, Billy, and I still have yet to talk to, I'm just reading about this, I still have yet to confirm this with Adam McKelvey, but unless they wait until after the June draft, did you know that that compensation to sign someone that's been offered the qualifying offer is off the table at that point?
I actually came across that earlier in the week as we were getting ready to talk to Seth Everett on the big show.
I never knew that.
And I asked him a little bit about it and if that was actually going to be one of the reasons why he thought the teams are waiting on, like, even a Keuchel, because at this point, like, you know he's not going to be ready for probably another month. You're staring down the barrel of mid-May. I think some of these teams are actually giving that some realistic thought of, we're going to make sure this dude's in shape, make sure this dude's ready to go, and then we'll bring him in June, and it's a little bit more of like you're getting an extra month out of a guy you pick up at the July trade deadline.
That's true, and because you're already here mid-April, that still is a little ways away.
No doubt it is.
The MLB amateur draft is, it's still just over 2 months away. I don't know if the compensatory pick that they would give up, where that would be, but they've already given one up.
Class A.
Well, they've already given up one to sign Grandal.
True, yep. And so, I believe Grandal was a Class A.
Correct. So, Kimbrel, to me, at the more we go along, now I'm not saying I've go out and get Kimbrel quite yet. I'm getting closer, though, Billy. Are you getting at least closer to saying, man, I envision in my mind how he would shake out with the current Brewers bullpen?
Yeah, I've wanted it for some time now. But when listening to Mark and listening to David and how they've constructed this thing and how they're still game planning for the move that can be made in the July trade period, where you're trying to make sure that you're saved up with money and assets and obviously still players. You're not going to have to give up a player for the Kimbrell or Keuchel signing, or most likely Kimbrell in this sense, but I'm still interested in waiting for that deadline because I think there's somebody that is more intriguing for me as a Brewers fan that is going to be available at that deadline that I think is going to be even more valuable than somebody in the back end of the bullpen. A top of the rotation guy that has dominated in the month of October, has won multiple championships. Baumgartner, put a left-handed starter in the middle of this rotation, at the top of the rotation, and look at what you're doing. You're changing the entire complexity of that rotation. Maybe that allows you to pull Burns out and put him back in the bullpen as the high-leverage guy, or Peralta, or if you're looking for Woody to be that guy, depending on how that dukes out for the next couple of months. I'm more intrigued on what you're going to be able to do if you save that financial flexibility with where they're at right now and you wait to see if you can put the hard press on to get Madison Baumgartner in here before the deadline.
No, and it's a great point because a guy like Baumgartner could catch some Brewer fever. You know what I mean?
Down could the do the same of- thing that Verlander did 2 years ago with the Astros, and everybody thought it was ridiculous that you're bringing in that kind of contract for a guy. Oh, he's way past. Oh, he is way past his prime. You don't need. You don't need Justin Verlander in this rotation. Well, sorry, he went and won a World Series, he hauled off, and went like 11-1.
Yeah, we can't give up prospects for Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Well, someone did.
You felt great about going and getting a prospect for Chris Davis because he's just an awful baseball player, right? Chris Davis, Crush Davis, they call him. He plays out now for the Oakland Athletics. Oh, he's just brutal. Only hits 247. Yeah, and he mashes 45 homers a year.
One of the better players in the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And one of the best pure home run hitters in the game.
And getting, seemingly still getting better. I was talking with someone earlier today, ironically, about Chris Davis. And what the Brewers could have gotten, say, in a trade deadline deal, whether it be this year, last year, the year, whenever it would have been, for both Scooter Gennett and Chris Davis, not necessarily coupled together, but just saying that, boy, to move those guys, how stocked or restocked could your minor leaguers, minor league system have been?
Mm-hmm.
Had you done that, that's interesting.
Could you imagine what that outfield looks like? And I get that you only play with three: Braun, Davis, Yelich, and Kane. Good
that's
luck.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, if that's in the AL, it's a no-brainer because you put Braun or Davis on. As the designated hitter on most nights, and you play with it from there. But, I mean, if this team was in the AL, that could have been a legitimate group that you had.
Big time.
Unreal.
Big time. That's moving backwards. We need to move forward with our friends at Forward Financial
Dang
Partners.
Dang right we do, Timmy.
FFPWI.com. Kimbrel, are you getting closer to being convicted in your thought of going out and signing him? Apparently, some sources are saying the numbers are coming down a little bit. The years are coming down a little bit. Would you venture a guess of $40 million for 3 years? I know what I know of David Stearns and this organization. I seriously doubt it. I don't think 3 years. 2 years? Possibly. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall in Game 3 of this three-game set. 2-4 on the six-gamer, but we'll stay tighter in the window, and that's they take the series against the Dodgers in L.A. That's a big feat, 2-1. Baby Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper. On the only station Brewers fans need, before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back in, podcast listeners, because the Bucks are in play as we do this show live. Tim and Towns after a Brewers 7-1 loss in Game 3 of this three-game set against the L.A. Dodgers. Kimbrel, more and more interesting to me. Just, you have to entertain the idea. You do.
Mm-hmm.
Petrichka, Jacob Barnes, Junior Guerra. It's a far cry from Corey Knebel, Jeremy Jeffress, and company. And Jeremy is, I hope he has the ability. And you know what it's like on game day. You know what it's like in a big situation.
Sure.
You get pumped up, man. And I do believe that the velocity numbers will be a little higher once Jeremy Jeffress gets into a big league game time situation, but I am a little concerned by the velo.
And he's one of those guys, Tim, that, I mean, we've seen this all last year. He pitches on emotion. He plays on emotion. He lives for that momentum that you get playing in those kind of games and that kind of atmosphere, that kind of situation. I would be surprised if Jeremy Jeffress doesn't ramp it up a little bit more once he gets to Miller Park or, you know, when they're facing the Dodgers down into Wrigley Field. But you're also looking at an aging dude where velocity starts to drop. Sooner or later, you're going to have to think of it as a possibility moving forward that his velocity has just declined.
And maybe. And I think you're right in that regard that it always happens. But you figure out other ways. The good ones figure out other ways to get out.
Exactly. Outs. Yep, exactly. You do. You adapt and overcome. The league makes adjustments to you. You then have to adjust back.
Are you kidding me? Moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. 2 1/3 for Yoli Chacin. Are you kidding me? You knew right there. Now, there are games. I don't want to be Mr. Negative here, but there are games that I just know the Brewers are going to win, no matter what. In fact, one of them, it was the game against the Angels, Peralta's last outing, where they were down 6-0. I was absolutely convinced they were coming back to at least tie that game. That was going to be a game. Now, I don't know about winning that game, but they were going to come back and tie.
Sure.
And they did, and they took the lead. So there's opposite of how we felt today as Brewers fans. You never really give up. So it's not 100% give up, but
that's
you kind
of so
know.
Nice of you to say.
You know, you kind of know, though, and you knew today. Are you kidding me? Yoli Chacin, they had the guy out there, Billy. They wanted to sweep this series. They had their ace that has pitched in big-time games for this organization the last year plus, and it just didn't happen. Are you kidding me?
Well, think about it this way, too, though. They had him on the mound against this same team last year in Game 7 with a trip to the World Series on the line and didn't get it done against this team.
Certainly not as bad as he was today.
No, not as bad. He also didn't get the opportunity because he decided to pull him so early and go to Josh Hader when you didn't have the lead and you hadn't done that all year long, and that got you as close as it did to the World Series. I digress.
It may have been one of the tipping points in that entire series.
What did Craig call them? Decisions that you have to make? Not mistakes, decisions.
Decisions, and some are risky and more risky than others. So let's hear from Craig Counsell after the Brewers fall in the series finale.
Struggled with the slider a little bit. He just, he's trying to get it backdoor to the left-handers, and he just couldn't land it. He kind of kept just leaving it. He just left it a little bit outside frequently. So, you couldn't land that pitch, and that's a pretty important pitch for him. Especially against the left-handers, really. So that kind of got him stuck a little bit, and then he fell behind, and he had to come to him on a couple time occasions. So, the first inning, it's probably the ground ball Verdugo hits. We just, it's not a, hard hit ball or anything. He made a pretty good pitch there. Actually, it gets through, and we're down two right away, and he kind of lost momentum right away. But he struggled today. He just didn't have a good day.
Was it hard when all that comes?
That's why there's three outs, they got some tough customers in the lineup, so you gotta keep going. And he made some pitches to get two outs, but he couldn't make that next pitch, and falling behind Verdugo and the walk to Bellinger, Pollock just kind of dumps one in there. Not a good pitch. That was a pretty good pitch there. So a little bit of bad luck, but they kept making them work and eventually got to them.
We talked about the bullpen usage before the game. Did Chase and Jacob give you what you needed to get through the rest?
No, they did. Those guys did a nice job. I mean, Chase, I think Chase really normalized the game for us, where we got into good shape, and Jacob had an outing where he'll be available tomorrow. So we're in good shape tomorrow.
Tripling was kind of a pitch to contact guy.
Get
a lot of great contact, though.
No, I mean, it's in a way similar to what Zach did last night. We made some contact, but I thought his cutter was really good. We took some, he got a lot of outs on that pitch. He just mixed it up, and we first couple innings we hit a couple balls hard that needed to go through to kind of get our momentum back in the game, really.
You saw the good Dodger bats today, but overall in the series, do you feel like you did a pretty good job against their hitters? Taking two?
Well, yeah. I mean, we won the series, so I think we did a decent job overall. We got four more next week, and it'll be tough matchups.
Long week out in L.A. How would you assess how things are going? Now you're still far over 500 and.
We finished with a good series. Did not have a good series in Anaheim, and move on to the next one.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
There are certain degrees of being disappointed, and I think you heard Craig Counsell there. He's a little disappointed. more so than in normal circumstances. Pleased that he won the series, and I'm good with that, and I agree with that. He won the series against the Dodgers, but you know, the overall sentiment, I guess, from Craig Counsell right there was, I think he was too happy. He sounded a little bit tired, didn't he?
Yeah, he sounds like he's ready to get on a plane and get home. Like he wants to go see the kids, get home, and walk home in some snow. I hope he brought his boots and his jacket.
Indeed.
Okay. Let's...
Jacob Barnes on his birthday. Oh, on his birthday today. Man.
Jacob Andrew Barnes. And what a great game for Jacob to get into, right? Walk into a 7-0 game. I mean, for most Brewers fans, they're like, perfect. This is why Jacob Barnes is on the team.
So, yeah, I think we're falling into a pocket of mop-up duty for Chase Anderson and possibly
that's for sure.
Barnes and Petrichka. Therein lies the issue with adding another arm into that bullpen. There will be more, guys. We just don't know who they're going to be yet. It's going to be someone down in the minor. It could be Adrian Houser. Williams could be back up. Fields could be up. You know, you name it. There's going to be some turnover here. And still awaiting an announcement from the Brewers. Doesn't look like it's going to happen now on Jeremy Jeffress being recalled.
No, I would imagine it happens tomorrow. I would imagine he's on his way, though. He flies, travels to Milwaukee. And it's one of those things he's activated right before Count starts talking tomorrow.
You have Jeremy pitching yesterday, Saturday. So my guess is they're, Billy, going to try and buy a day Monday with an additional pitcher and then activate Jeffress on Tuesday.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
Okay.
That's the way I would do it.
Now,
let him get comfortable.
Or what you could have done is you could have let somebody go out there to die today and put him in for, you know, 2 2/3 and then did the option down in that sense and let somebody else come up, a fresh arm in Jeremy Jeffress, and use the 25-man roster that way.
I think you'll see him in town. He's probably it's possible he's in town already today.
Yeah.
For sure tomorrow, and then activate it on Tuesday. It's just, again, my guess. 799-1250 if you want to join us. We'll get you an update on that Bucks game. Are they doing okay?
Yeah, they're actually doing better than okay. Giannis just had one of those moments where he drove to the cup, had three guys around him, laid it in, got the foul call, and put an expletive into the middle of, I'm unstoppable. So Giannis is in playoff mode. We can say it that way. He's ready to go. He's not going to allow anybody to get in his way and take this one from here. It's 28-12 right now, Bucks. Also, though, how about this, Timmy? Veteran sportscaster in this city. What do you think of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar holding up the championship trophy before the game today?
Hey, man, they've got a shot at it. They do. I mean, with some dysfunction in Philly. With Toronto being what they are, I mean, they're definitely beatable. Indiana has had some injuries that kind of pushed them to the wayside a little bit. And Boston with some injuries and maybe a tick of dysfunction there. I don't want to jinx it, but they're looking sweet to get to the NBA Finals.
They're in such a great position. Now, because people are going nuts on Twitter and in the mentions about Kareem and like, him not wanting to, he didn't want to be in Milwaukee when he was playing. Oh, he was also 25 years old. Can we all get over it?
He had a different name. He wasn't even Kareem at that point.
Right.
He was Lou.
I would have wanted to live in L.A. when I was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor, whichever one, name him.
When I was 25?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would take that. I would. Please. Yeah. Thank you.
Indeed. All right, 799-1250. Good start to the Bucks championship run. Not a good game for the Brewers today. However, they do take the series 2-1. They lose today 7-1. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey here on The Fan.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com.
Yeah, I don't know if you can put the Brewers team as a whole in the hot or not category. I think it would lean toward the hot category at a 10-6 mark here through the first 16 games of the 2019 championship season. I think you could add him to the hot category, winning the series in L.A. against the Dodgers, despite having some injuries on that Dodgers pitching staff, Rich Hill, Clayton Kershaw, and these guys. It's still a big series victory. It is. And that falls into the hot category. Now, the not category would be an eight-game stretch here that has the Brewers 3-5. Now, one game makes a huge difference, folks. It does. One of those wins in Anaheim against the Angels would have made the difference. Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. I want to go back to yesterday's lineup and get your thoughts, Billy. On that lineup yesterday, Grandal up to the cleanup spot. Shaw and Zeus moved to 6 and 7. Zeus in the 6, Shaw all the way down to 7. It did work. He did come through. A couple of hits, 2 knocked in for Travis Shaw. They put him right back up. They corrected whatever they needed to do with that lineup and getting Grandal a little bit better opportunity.
Yeah, and two, they're going to show that they're going to give Grandal the opportunity to showcase what he does. And they've done it how many different times where they change the lineup and Count said, it's a pretty fluid situation, right? Is that the word that he used last year when you were asking about it? That they'll change it up from time to time, mess around with it, but if the guy's getting hot, you got to roll with the hot bat. And how hot has Monty Grandal been? Goodness gracious.
Oh, man. He was, after yesterday's game, 17 for his last 30.
Mm.
It's just amazing. Let's squeeze in Chase before we duck out and enjoy some Bucks basketball. Chase, our friend in California, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Hey, love and listen to you. Hey, speaking of Grandal, man, I'm actually calling because I don't want this guy to leave. I mean, this guy is mashing, and I would love to see him a Brewer next year. And I was just kind of curious. You think we're going to pony up for the guy? Do you think we're going to pay him what he's going to be asking? Because if he puts up numbers like this, he's going to command a lot.
Oh, he definitely is. And we haven't seen numbers like this from the catching position in Milwaukee since, what, Lucroy had his All-Star run for a year or two?
Yeah, it was nice seeing him in Anaheim.
Yeah, that's true. You were right there. But, there's a mutual option for the Grandal contract. And my guess is, guys, that he's not a Brewer next year. That would be my guess. I think this is a one-year sign.
I think it'd be a little bit out of the realm. But, I mean, it's $16 million. It depends on where it moves to. But a $2.5 million buyout for it, you're right, Tim. Yeah. I think also a lot of this, guys, falls down to how Nottingham moves up. And
I understand, Billy, they made a trade today to acquire a catcher. I don't know if you saw that. I still have yet to study it out because I saw the news during the game.
Same, yeah.
And so we'll check it out for you and talk about that. But they may not be in the best shape short-term for the catching position if Grandal does leave. And, Chase, you're right, man. Maybe it would behoove the team to ensure that Grandal stays for one more year to bridge the gap. I know they like this Peyton Henry, but he's still a few years away.
Yeah, I mean, he's just – you guys are probably right, and he probably isn't going to be here. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, man, he's been so good for us, you know. And, I mean, to move him up in that four spot, I mean, they have a lot of confidence in that guy too, and why shouldn't they? I mean, he's really seen the ball well. And one more thing. Today was a rough one, obviously. But let's not forget, guys, that Dodgers lineup, is it unfair or what? I mean, come on. You got pinch hitters coming in. I mean, like, what the heck? I mean, these guys are just – they're just good, you know?
Stupid good, yep, no doubt.
They are. Thank you, Chase. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, man. You're right. That Dodger lineup, it is – man, it's
stacked.
Freeze or
stacked.
Peterson or Turner and all these guys just – it's like a heavyweight fight, and they won't stop. They keep popping you.
We talked about it a lot last year. Like, there's not many holes up and or down that lineup at all.
But you know what, Billy? At 8-9 the last year plus, head-to-head against this team, 17 games they played head-to-head against these guys, going to be 21 in 2 years. Think about that. A team in the West faces the Brewers in the Central in a two-year span, not even 2 years. It's a year plus, a year and a month, 21 times. Think about that. That is extremely rare. Now, there's still, what, four games left head-to-head against these guys in the regular season here to get up to that 21 mark. But so far, 8-9, they seem to match up pretty decent against this team.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's two heavyweights in the National League. I think that's the best way to put it. And let's face it, these guys are the class of the league. I mean, you can look at it any way you want. They've played for the chance to get a World Series the last 2 years. Yaz had it in, I don't know if you saw Hardicourt's article over the weekend when he was talking about, or talking to Yasmani about coming back, and he said, you know, yeah, I'm going to get that ring on Friday night, but it's cool. I got two. Like, I'm kind of good on that. I want the other one. These guys have played for that crown the last 3 years. They're legit, legit ballers.
Six division titles. Six consecutive division titles.
See, and they did it last year without Corey Seager. I think, like, we forget about that because of just how good Machado was and how easy that transition was to get Machado. Imagine that, an all-star for an all-star. But Corey Seager's still one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah,
and they did it pretty much all last year without him in the middle of their lineup.
And Bellinger looks like he's going to vie for the NL MVP for sure. I mean, he's going to be in the running. There's no doubt about that. So the Dodgers series, it is now done. They'll be back at Miller Park on Thursday. In the meantime, the Brewers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, have a three-game set in division. St. Louis Cardinals, they are back at Miller Park. Whether you agree or disagree with the schedule, it's scheduled. And it's been scheduled for months.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to tell some of the staff members that put together schedules that they've been out
come
since
on.
November or December.
Come on, Timmy. Timmy. You lock looking, it up.
Looking forward to it. A Monday through Sunday homestand, Cardinals Woo! And Dodgers. Doesn't get much better than this. It's Brewers baseball at its best here in the 2019 championship season. For Nick Bodie, our Eagles scout for the day, and Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid.
What's the Eagle Scout look?
You know, I don't know. I just had to give him
Mr.
a nickname.
Mr. Tim
I was
Allen.
Never even a Cub Scout, Tim.
I think you – well – we don't want to get into Tim's extensive scout history. We the music's hitting. We're going to get out before we get all the Eagle Scout talk.
I have some patches and badges.
Yeah,
and
you got all of it. Yeah, belts and everything. Yep.
Neckerchief, and you know what that is?
A neckerchief?
Yeah, that's kind of that thing you wear around your neck. And
I'm
so glad I met you later in your life. I don't know if we would have been great friends, Tim.
You probably would have kicked my ass. Yeah. You guys have a great night and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.